Barely visible to your left and running under the bridge is Town Creek. In 1782, the creek was wider, so the town bridge was probably where Live Oak runs today. Militia guarded it here, and the militia refugee camp was likely a little further up the road. At the time, that curved left and became what now is North Carolina 101, on or near the same curve you can see today in that direction. Total casualties during the Beaufort Raid were 1 killed, 7 wounded, and 5 captured for the British, and 1 wounded patriot, 1 captured. Although Loyalists and Patriots continued to murder each other for a few more months, this was the last battle of the American Revolution in North Carolina, in the sense of two armed groups clashing. The raid ended almost 7 years after Patriots burned down Fort Johnston in today's Southport, starting the war in North Carolina. It also represents the third longest British occupation suffered by any NC city during the war, after those of Wilmington and Charlotte. The raid was perhaps too successful. The Loyalist in charge of gathering supplies for the British, John Cruden, took out an advertisement in the Charleston paper apologizing for the officers, saying they had gone too far. Historical tidbits. Beaufort was a center of pirate activity, visited by Edward Teach, Blackbeard, and other famous pirates earlier in the 1700s. Spanish privateers, pirates sanctioned by Spain, raided unsuccessfully in 1747. If you leave Beaufort by way of U.S. 70 West to Morehead City, look to your right, north, as you leave land to cross the Newport River. Somewhere along that edge of the river in 1776 was Robert Williams' Salt Works, established under contract with the new state of North Carolina. Prior to the war, almost all salt in the United States was imported, so the outbreak of conflict threatened this vital commodity. Denying salt to the rebels was a declared strategy of the British. In May 1776, Williams and Cornelius Harnett, president of the temporary state government, corresponded about setting up a salt works. Williams had seen some in Portugal. The next month, the government agreed to buy the land here and give Williams £500 to set up, about $90,000 today. He almost immediately began to make excuses for why the work might be slow and to complain about the impact on his other businesses. Little salt was produced, and the state finally withdrew funding by December. Another man, Richard Blackledge, set up with the same amount of money farther up the Newport, was deemed successful by the state that August.